You take the word of God, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 this morning. Matthew chapter 20. If you missed this morning's Sunday school hour, I'd like to encourage you to listen to that. Go to the archives and you should be able to find that Sunday school lesson there. It's when the walls of Jericho fell. There's four lessons we learn from the story about the walls of Jericho falling. And I would like for you to go there if you have opportunity and listen to that message. Not because I think I'm a great preacher, but because I think we've got a great God. And there's so many wonderful things we can learn from His Word. It's not just important that we know Him. It's not just important that we agree with them. It's important that we apply them to our lives. And so I think that Sunday school lesson will help you if you're listening to it. Matthew chapter 21. I said Matthew chapter 20. My apologies. Matthew chapter 21. The Word of God tells us when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you. Straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us today as we revisit this question. Who is this? Help us today, Lord. Again, we're counting on you to do what we cannot accomplish nor what we can do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we, about 2 years ago, had looked at this passage of Scripture and addressed this question. And I believe the Lord has directed us back here because I think it's good every now and then to go back to things and be reminded. It's kind of a resetting of the gyro compass, you know, to help remind us of who Jesus is. I learned when I was in Bible college that when you preach Christ, you always preach the person of Christ before you preach the passion of Christ. Because knowing who He is really impacts the effect of what He has done for us, you know. Now, what He's done for us is a tremendous thing. It's moving in and of itself. But when we understand who the person of Christ is, it makes it that much more. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying maybe a little bit better at the end of this message. In our text, we're reading about the Sunday before the betrayal, false arrest, mock trial, merciless beating, murder, and bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 week. 1 week before that happened. 1 week before they would arrest Jesus. 1 week before they'd give Him that mock trial. 1 week before He would be whipped. 1 week before He would be pummeled. 1 week before He would be beaten. 1 week before those nails were driven through His hands and His feet and the spear was pierced through His side. That was one week before all that. 1 week before they came to the tomb early in the morning and found it empty. This is all 1 week. Can you imagine? Here's Christ. He's riding in accordance with the prophecy, riding on a donkey, colt, a foal of an ass. And here He comes, and they're laying down their clothing in front of Him as He goes, honoring Him by cutting down branches and strawing them, the Bible says, in the way. And just 1 week later, they'll be crying. They won't be saying, Hosanna! They won't be saying, Save now, we pray. They're going to be crying, Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. We're 1 week away from that. The whole city is moved at His arrival. And what are they saying? Look at verse number 10. The phrase in verse number 10, Who is this? Who is this? So we're going to attempt to answer that question this morning. Who is this? Verse number 11 of our text It tells us that the multitude called him Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I'm going to tell you, he's more than that. It is he who, with the word of his voice, he could heal the sick and raise the dead. Luke chapter 4, the Bible tells us he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. John chapter 11, we see that Jesus is in Bethany. When he had thus spoken, he's standing there at the grave of Lazarus. He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Who is this? He's the one that speaks with his voice, and he heals the sick, and he raises the dead. But he's more than that. He is the last Adam. He's the advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha. He's the Amen. He's the Anointed One, and the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning, the only begotten of the Father, the beloved Son. The baby in the manger at Bethlehem, the bishop, the blessed one, the branch, the bread of life, the bridegroom, and the bright morning star. He is the counselor, the captain of our salvation, the carpenter, the chief shepherd, the child that was left behind in Jerusalem. He's the Christ, the commander, the consolation of Israel, and the chief cornerstone. He's the day spring, the day star, the deliverer, the desire of nations, and the door. He's Emmanuel, God with us, the everlasting Father, and the eternal one. He's the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the foundation, the fortress, the Father of mercies, the fountain of living water, and the friend of sinners. He's the gift of God, the glory of God, God in the flesh, the good shepherd, the governor, the great shepherd, the great one, the guide, and he is gracious. He's the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, the horn, our helper, our hope, and the Holy One. He is the I Am and the express image of God. He's Jehovah. He's Jesus. He's the judge. He's the just one. He's the King of kings. He's the Lamb of God, the living God, the lawgiver, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of lords, and the light of the world. He's the Master, the Mediator, the Messiah, and the merciful God. He's the Nazarene. He's the only begotten and omnipotent God. He's the Passover, the great physician, the power of God, the potentate, the prince, the prophet, the propitiation, the purifier, and the peacemaker. He's the Redeemer, the refiner, the refuge, the resurrection, the righteousness we're missing. He's the rock, the rod, the root of David, and the rose of Sharon. He's the sacrifice, the Savior, the Son of God, the stone, the shield, and our strength. He's the truth. He's the vine. He's the victor, and he's the victory. He's the way, and he's the faithful witness, and he's wonderful. He's all those things, but he's more than that. It's interesting to know that that same Jesus makes his entry, just like he made his entry into Jerusalem that day, makes his entry into every age. And even today, there are people who ask the same moving question that they asked the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Who is this? Even today. Think about that. You bring up the name of Christ, that same question, that same thought is being asked. Who is this? We're addressing it today in this Sunday service. Who is this Jesus? Who is this? Julius Caesar was assigned his place in human history, yet nobody asked of Julius Caesar, who is this? Plato was read and studied, yet no one asks of the great philosopher Plato, who is this? No. But as the timeless Lord Jesus walks down through the corridor of the centuries and faces this modern day, the question concerning him is asked again and again and again, who is this? Every other personality in human history, it goes only so far and then no further. But the person of Christ dominates all of calculated time, even today. Who is this that dominates human life and is presented before us today in the Word of God? Who is this was the question of a man named Saul when he met the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. Who is this was the question which shook the foundations of Rome in the famed Council of Nicaea, then again in the great Council at Ephesus, and then again in the Council at Chalcedon, and then again in the Council of Constantinople. Who is this? Again and again and again. The question has been raised throughout history, and we seek to answer that question today. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? Let me answer it by saying this. God, first of all, became a man. In Hebrews 4:15, it tells us he, being touched with the same feelings and infirmities that we are acquainted with, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We ought to consider his flesh and blood as we consider who he is. However glorious the sights and the sounds which surrounded his arrival at Bethlehem, it was a cry of a human infant that was heard coming from the manger. However miraculous the intelligence and theological understanding of that 12-year-old boy, he was still a child, think about it, that was subject to his parents. Who do we find seated and weary at the well in John chapter 4? Who do we see crying human tears in passages like John 11, 35 at the death of Lazarus and Matthew 23 and verse number 37 when Christ considered Israel and how they had rejected him? His substance is human flesh. When they pressed down that crown of thorns on his brow, when they plucked the beard from his face, when they covered his head and beat him, when they thrashed his back to ribbons with a cat of nine tails, when they drove those nails through his hands and through his feet, and when they thrust that spear in his side, it was the substance of human flesh that they bruised and they tore and they pierced. God became a man. It was human blood that stained the ground at the foot of the cross. It's a human body that they hastily yet carefully took down from the cross, wrapped in a sheet, and laid in a borrowed tomb. He's flesh, that's who he is. But that's not all. See, God became a man. God became a man without ever ceasing to be God. 750 years before Christ was born, Isaiah spoke of him in his deity in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist saw him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Andrew saw him and said, "We have found the Messiah." Simon Peter said of him, "Thou art the Christ." When the centurion at Capernaum pled for the life of his servant, he recognized Christ's omnipotence and said, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." With a word, Jesus could speak, and the wind and the waves obeyed him. The leper was cleansed, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, and the mute could speak. He greeted the dawn, saying, "I am the light of the world." He stood by the grave and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He presents himself to those who are wearied by religion and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Walking through the valley of the shadow of death and the shadow of the cross, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Well, the officers, the temple came to arrest him, they fell to the ground in the presence of his deity. When the Roman centurion heard him cry, "It is finished," he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Thomas saw him after his bodily resurrection and said, "My Lord and my God." John saw him while exiled in the Isle of Patmos and wrote that he is both the root and the offspring of David, both the father and descendant of David. How can that be except he's God? Paul wrote that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God himself said to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." God called Jesus God. Who is this? God became a man without ever ceasing to be God. And in that human body lived a sinless life. Went to the cross, shed his blood, died, was buried, resurrected in that human body, walked on this earth for another 40 days, and then ascended to be seated in that human body at the right hand of the throne of God, where he intercedes on our behalf this very moment. That's who Jesus is. Now, this is going to come as a shock to you. We're going to have the invitation. I don't think there's anything more we need to say. That's who Jesus is. And the invitation is this: if you've not yet trusted in Christ alone as your only hope of a relationship with God and home in His presence for eternity. What are you waiting for? There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Who is this? It's Jesus. He's all these things and more. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A hymn of invitation will be played. And the Spirit of God in me is moved at the name of Christ. And I invite you to come. Come to Christ. Well, you know what the Bible says about Christ. You might even agree with it, but now make it your own. Trust Him. Look to the Word of God and say, this is where it ends. Today it ends. Today I stop fighting it. And I come to Christ. And I trust in Christ alone as my only hope of relationship with God and a home in His presence for eternity. God, help us during this invitation time. If you're saved, if you've trusted in Christ already, oh, won't you be moved at the name of Christ, who He is, what He's done.